The loss of the yacht Cheeky Rafiki created a great deal of comment and concern, even apart from the real and widespread sorrow for those four men who never even got to use their life raft. Some questioned the fitness of the boat for Atlantic passages, even though many smaller, frailer and less conventional have made it. Others, most of us who sail, fretted about the keel and how a reputably built, well-tested yacht could lose it so abruptly. Non-sailors, who thought the whole thing crazy and reckless, had to be told again and again that modern boats and crews are equipped with every sensible radio and emergency beacon, and that this crew would be well-versed in emergency drills. There was nothing rash in what they were doing. The US Coast Guard's decision to give up caused an outcry too, which had the search resumed. But among commentators and correspondents, and overheard conversations in trains and cafes as I travelled the country, one of the most baffled, recurring remarks was, why didn't the big ship stop and save them, or tow the hull back so it could be looked at? In our sea-blind modern world, the idea of a big ship still evokes a medium-sized, traditionally shaped vessel with cranes and low topsides, the 1950s sort, which people remember from the days when ports were in city centres and not miles downriver in high-security docks invisible to outsiders except as a distant blur. Many have no idea about the immense, world-girdling steel monsters 15 sheer stories high, which bring us nearly all our goods and cars and materials. If they do envisage a big ship, it's a cruise ship with low windows and passenger-friendly gangplanks. It is only from the water in a small boat that you can really appreciate the towering absurdity of these huge ships and see the impossibility of a 1,000-foot monster and its relatively small crew just having a look or taking a tiny hull in tow, particularly in heavy weather. They're not frigates or minesweepers or even aircraft carriers. They are made for one thing only, to be loaded by giant cranes with enormous loads in uniform containers and then to steam briskly across the world to an almost identical set of machinery somewhere else and have them taken off. Many of their crews don't even see the countries they visit on vanishingly short turnarounds. At Felixstowe, you may not walk on the dockside for danger. And if it wasn't for the shuttle bus run by the Mission to Seafarers, Donate Now, the crewmen could not even get to the cafe to buy a souvenir, Skype home, or have a friendly chat to someone they haven't been living next to for months. These are sealed worlds, and not manoeuvrably seamanlike ones. The Maersk Cure did stand by, marking the spot until the US Coast Guard stood her down. But there really wasn't much she could do for Cheeky Rafiki. And don't forget that these guys, these seafarers, are human. There will have been no inconsiderable distress and empathy among the deckhands of all nations who looked down helplessly at her wreck. It is hard to explain to non-sailors that what we do is so very odd when set against the bulk of world shipping. It is as if you tried to take a dinky toy across the M25 amid the big articulated lorries. We rightly fear and avoid them. We install radar enhancers and keep a sharp lookout. But we dare not look to the big ships for help in extremity, in the way that small boats and fishermen would once have hailed more accessible ships. Moreover, we know that for our size, we are infinitely more manoeuvrable and in some ways safer than a great many cargo ships. We live in different worlds, mutually respectful, but hardly on the same sea planet. It is a sobering thought.